Why are the Babbages so pedantic not to allow matzah to become moistened during Pesach, and yet so liberal about specifically wetting their matzah on the last day of Pesach? So where do we get this idea from that you shouldn't eat matzah that has been wet on Pesach? We know that at the end of the sixth volume of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, he writes a response to somebody who asked about this question, and he says, as a machmer tovay olav bracha, that if a person is very scrupulous not to wet their matzah over Pesach, they will be blessed. And he explains why. Taima Rabbi Ika B'milsa, there's a really good reason to do this. Because, as he explains over there in the Tshuva, sometimes there's flour that is not baked that's on the matzah, and there's the possibility of actually transgressing a Torah prohibition. In the details of the Tshuva, the Alter Rebbe distinguishes between crumbling matzah into, for example, soup, right? People would dip their matzah in soup, or matzah tchuna shoisim mimena agulim, as opposed to matzah meal, which is then used to make knedlach, where there is scope to be a little bit more lenient about the knedlach, because it's now a mixture of chametz with other ingredients, of matzah, which potentially could become chametz with other ingredients, as opposed to actually putting your matzah directly into the soup. And then he concludes as follows. Despite the fact that you should really be careful not to wet your matzah and it will bring you blessing the whole of Pesach, nevertheless, if it's the last day of Pesach, if somebody wants to be more lenient about putting something wet onto the matzah in order to enjoy the joy of Yom Tov lo hifsid, there's no downside to that. Now, that's not how the Babbage acts. We observe the behavior of our Rebbeim, as in the Siudus from Achon Shal Pesach, then in those meals, the three meals of the last day of Pesach, not only were they not so scrupulous that the matzah doesn't get wet, but they were specific to make a point of eating wet matzah. So if every minig within the Jewish nation is a lesson for us, is alachas kamechama, and of course part of Torah, is alachas kamechama, then for sure, if you're talking about the Rebbeim and behavior that they publicized, clearly there is Torah in this, there's a lesson in it, and we have to examine and understand why. The easiest way to explain the behavior and the conduct of the Rebbeim on the last day of Pesach is, as Kavonas Anagosim is given to Mahadeh Zayin, that they want to be very careful, not that they were careful to eat wet matzah because it's the last day of Pesach, nor in Simchas Yom Tov. The Alter Rebbe said that if you want to do it in order to have more joy on the Yom Tov, then you may wet your matzah. So maybe they were just very cautious about fulfilling this mitzvah of enjoying Yom Tov, and that's why they wet the matzah. But that's not really a satisfactory explanation. First of all, there's no other Yom Tov on the calendar where we see the Rebbeim did something extra to have extra Simchas Yom Tov. If their motivation was to add to the Simcha of Yom Tov, then there should have been some similar conduct on the other two major Yom Tovs of the year to add Simcha. But besides that, look at what the Alter Rebbe said. The Alter Rebbe said, "Hameikil mishum Simchas Yom Tov." If a person chooses to be lenient because they want to have greater Simchas Yom Tov, lo hifsid, there's no downside. Das es nitna is das akula. In the series was Pesach, the way the Alter Rebbe words, it's not only that there's a loophole of leniency with regards to how we deal with the rest of Pesach and how we deal with the last day of Pesach. No sees in them nor but the way the Alter Rebbe frames it is there's no loss, there's no downside to wetting your matzah. He doesn't suggest that there's any benefit. And if there's no benefit, then there's no hidden. Then there's no way that you're adding to your joy of Yom Tov by specifically wetting your matzah. That cannot be their motivation. So perhaps there's a different motivation. Mevolt geken zogen would suggest as dann hogan all is gedem machen achilik vehachilik vehacker zwischen achen shpesach und design yom im shlifne ze. Well, maybe the reason they did it was that we'd have a clear distinction between the nature of the first 7 days of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, because the last day of Pesach really is it's second day of Golos, and it's not really part of what the Torah originally mandated in terms of the laws of Chometz, right? So it'd be really far-fetched to suggest that because the Rebbe wanted us to distinguish between the last and the first 7 days of Pesach, they would dafka wet their matzahs. Especially when you observe their conduct, that on the last day of Pesach, they made a point of having that matzah in every dish that was on the table. If all you want to do is have a token indication that today is different to the rest of Pesach, so do it once. Dip your matzah into the soup and finish. Why do you have to be involved with every single dish? That almost sounds like they're making a ritual and a statement about wetting the matzah on the last day of Pesach. Okay, so here's another angle. A simple way to explain it is as Rebaldat Rebbe Paskant. It's because the Alter Rebbe is the one who ruled, as I make Mashum Simchas Yom Tov Lehifzid, that if you choose to be more lenient because you want to enjoy Yom Tov, there's no downside. So it could be because the Alter Rebbe is the one who said this. That's what prompted the Rebbeim to specifically make a point of wearing the matzah. So they make a big statement illustrating what it is that the Alter Rebbe taught us that we would not have known about the last day of Pesach because we're so strict all Pesach long. And now the last day of Pesach, we're showing you, see, the Alter Rebbe said it's okay to be lenient. And we can add another layer to that. Like the Gemara tells us, about the Dalet Minim, Asav Acha Berei Derovem Hadarat Rebichod. So we know that Hadassim are ideally supposed to have three leaves that come out of the same node, but there's also the possibility of two leaves and then a single leaf kind of slightly above it. That's what Rav Acha Berei Derovem Dafka made a point of using for his lulav. Neman Hadass Vosis Nha Shne Alim Bei Ketzechot Vale Echon Mil Matva Ile Berech Vashneim. So it's the reverse of what I said. So there's two leaves and a third one beneath that kind of. It comes from a separate node, but overlaps those two leaves. And that is Vididak Fun Rav Kahana. The reason he did it is because that was the proposal that Rav Kahana made of what is considered to be a kosher hadas. Chot Rav Kahana od gizok tafidu trebichad. So there also, you see similar language to what the Alter Rebbe said. Rav Kahana said, even if you choose to use this less than ideal hadas, it would still be okay. Und loso bechad kina kol shekhen to kosher. And it goes without saying that if you have all three leaves at the same level on the branch, that would be the ideal hadas. So why then did Rav Acha Berei Derovem follow Rav Kahana's, so to speak, Bidi Evet suggestion? No, however, nothing we put with Rav Kahana because Rav Kahana had said it. Hot Talmidin Demahadikven Rav Acha, as his student said, if that's what my Rebbe said is a possibility, I'm specifically going to do it out of respect to my Rebbe. Maybe it's the same thing with the Rebbeim, because the Alter Rebbe is the one who said you may be makel, you may be lenient on the last day of Pesach with your matzah in moisture. So we dafka do it to show that this is what our Rebbe taught. But the fact that the Rebbeim made a point of mixing the matzah into every single dish is more than azos nitnom mitzadem tam von hoiv and nothing mipumet de more azokin. So they're clearly not just doing it because we want to show how much we are, supportive of and how much we cherish the words of the Alter Rebbe. Now dasot hashaychus. It's obviously linked to whatever the energy of the last day of Pesach is. Is negat some etzim inyan von achren shal Pesach. Whatever achren shal Pesach is about has to be expressed through wetting the matzah, and therefore you do it multiple times in all the different dishes. If something represents what the day is all about, well, the day obviously applies to all the facets of the day, which includes all the various dishes that are served on the day. As the Rebbe once previously discussed, in the Dear Kalosh Minag Yisrael Toirohi, we say that the expression is Minag Yisrael, a Jewish custom, Toirohi, which implies that it has the same validity and value as the Torah, but means more than that. We're not only saying that this custom has the full-blown impact as if it were Torah, like we might use the expression, we're following the tradition of our forefathers, or Al Tishnu Minag Aviseichem, that we're not supposed to shift or veer from our customs. Like the Rashba goes into the detail about how important it is to follow minag. Now the minag is a Torah hoira if zantechem v'inu miyuchot, but it's more than that. Torah means an instruction, a lesson, an insight. The minag gives us insight into what the minag's association is all about. So if a minag is associated with a particular day, the minag gives us insight into the meaning of that day. In our case, the fact that the Rebbeim consistently throughout the meal in various dishes made sure to mix their matzah with whatever it was that they were eating or put the food onto their matzah, that shows us that this is a minhag to illustrate what the last day of Pesach is all about. So what is the last day of Pesach all about? Well, the whole pivot of understanding the last day of Pesach is from a spiritual perspective. What's the spiritual perspective? Pesach and Shavuot are two ends of a spectrum, and they are actually celebrated quite differently. Since Yodur, the Chilik Tzvish, and Pesach and Shavuot, when again Chametz, we know there's a huge distinction between Pesach and Shavuot with regards to Chametz, because as by Pesach is Chametz also with Tachlis. On Pesach, you're not allowed to have Chametz in any form, even the minutest amount, and by Shavuot is Chametz nit no mutter no adrabachiv. Whereas on Shavuot, not only are you permitted to have Chametz, but it's actually built into the requirements of Shavuot. The Shtalechem by Shavuot, Davin Zayin Davke Chametz Teofen, are the two loaves that were brought as part of the Shavuot ceremonies had to dafka be chametz on yesenim izet dafka zever ma'amata fabnochas and matzah. And not only that, but all the grain that would be used for the menachos, which were actually matzah for the rest of the year in the Beis Hamikdash, the new crop was only permitted to be used after they brought those two chametz loaves. And as Bara was saying, so let's understand why we have these two ends of the spectrum that are so different. Pesach, where there's no chametz, and Shavuos, where you have to have chametz. So we know that chametz vayis, tefakbov, isnasus, we all know that chametz represents elevation, arrogance, vasind, it was yamokah from kominera, which is the beginning of any toxic behavior. And therefore, it's Pesach, by Yitzias Mitzrayim. So when it's Pesach, and we're just beginning the process of escaping our personal constraints represented by Mitzrayim, you've got to get as far as possible from Chametz, to the extent you don't see the Chametz, you can't find the Chametz, it has to be completely obliterated. Whereas Shavuos is a completely different spiritual state. That's after 7 weeks of personal character development through Sefirah Soimer. In that process, we refine and clarify and upgrade all the seven facets of our personality. And all of those seven with all of their subcategories. Chesed, Shebe, Chesed, Becholi, the Chesed within Chesed, the Gevurah within Chesed, etc., etc. So we've done a lot of personal work and we've shifted and elevated ourselves to a great degree. Then this ability to kind of stand proud is no longer an interference of our service with Hashem. No, to the contrary. We have now completely shifted ourselves to a place where not only may we use all the facets of chometz to serve the Eibishter, but if it's available, then we are required to use chometz in order to serve Hashem. Because the ultimate state is not when you banish the darkness, but when you make the darkness shine. The chometz, which was darkness, which was a barrier to godliness, itself should become a radiation of holiness. And the fadafa shavuos and chometz dafke te'ofena, that's why shavuos, you have to specifically bake chometz loaves in order to celebrate Shavuos. So that's Pesach till Shavuos. That's the full program. And Achron Shel Pesach is the conclusion of the first segment of that program. And therefore, there's a shift in chometz. So there's a smaller version of the Shavuos experience already on the last day of Pesach. Why? Because by the time we reach Achron Shel Pesach, we have gezelt, we've counted, which means mevor given, we have refined ala zeven spheres midos, the seven midos from the Ereshon Hoft Sphero Mida, as they are manifest in the first, which implies the primary of all the midos. In other words, we've done all of the work we needed to do in Chesed, which is obviously going to influence the rest of us. The Ozilim Kula Yom Chesed Vaslach Chesed. So, like we know, that Chesed is the energy that really accompanied the entire creative process, and Chesed therefore is the energy that really seeps through into all of our characteristics. So, once we've shifted Chesed, we've made a meaningful shift in terms of our spiritual development. Vaslach Rizeh, Kumi Sudas Van Achin Shapesach, Sudas Alaylo, Sudas Ayom. Once we've concluded that process of Chesed rehabilitation and refinement, now we go into Achin Shapesach and eat the meals of Achin Shapesach. So by Achron Shel Pesach, we have already done real growth work in terms of one of our midas, and in a sense, all the seven midas, as they are manifest within that one, it's each of those other characteristics as they are held within the reality of Chesed. So we're not close yet to the experience of Shavuos, where we are so empowered that Chometz could actually become an asset. And the reason we're not at Shavuos yet is because we haven't yet unpacked all of the details of the other six midas. We've only really dealt with the one core midah. The fact that we've made some significant spiritual progress and personal refinement means we don't have to be as cautious against chometz or in the protection of matzah, lechem oini, to protect that poor man's bread, which indicates bitul v'iskafia, the capacity for complete surrender to Hashem and the overcoming of negativity. So at this point, we can let our guard down just that little bit, that we don't have to worry about the remote possibility that the matzah actually isn't fully 100% matzah and protected from becoming chometz. We can relax that element.
So
in personal development language, this means we have now reached a point where it is possible for us to use as an asset to serve Hashem the parts of ourselves that are not completely surrendered to Hashem. And again, using the same principle we said about Shavuos, once you have the rights to use something as a means to serve Hashem, you are required to use it. So now we're allowed to use matzah that might have the remote possibility of becoming chometz, so we have to. So therefore, is memahad b'matzah shruya, we don't only allow ourselves to wet the matzah, we dafka wet the matzah. And that, as the Alter Rebbe points out, is what gives us our real simcha of this particular day of Yontov. Because look, it's the simcha in our achievement, in our shift, in our growth. As we well know, any rabbinic principle is of course derived from the Torah itself. And whatever institutions the rabbis made are aligned with how the Torah makes institutions. And that must obviously apply in our case too. This custom that we have as Chabadniks, not only to allow ourselves to have Gebrochts on the last day of Pesach, but specifically to make a point about doing it repetitively, so we're talking about the last day of Pesach, which is a rabbinic day, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. It must link to and derive from the energy of the last day of Pesach as mandated by the Torah, which is one day earlier, Shvi'i Shel Pesach. So the energy that we're seeing on the last day of Pesach is already present on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, albeit in a slightly different way. So let's understand what is unique about the seventh day of Pesach. So the Bir Bozeh, you're going to immediately see something which sounds kind of similar. Fun pasuk sheishis yom teichal matzah. The pasuk tells us 6 days you should eat matzah. Uvayoyim ashvi atzeres l'Hashem elekecha. And the seventh day is a day of atzeres, pause, collation, and yom tov for Hashem. So let me know. Mashvi reshus afsheishis yomim reshus. The Gemara derives from this that just like the seventh day of Pesach, the Torah does not require you to eat matzah. So the truth is that the preceding 6 days of Pesach, you also don't have to eat matzah, with the exclusion, obviously, of the first night, which for us outside of Israel is the first two nights. Das meint, as a gamale sieben Tag chutz leil diyam tev alef de Pesach seinen gleich in dem din von reshus. So the way that the Gemara derives this. Basically means this. Practically speaking, outside of the first night of Pesach, every other day of Pesach is equal. You're not required, but it's obviously ideal to eat matzah. But you're not required to eat matzah. But the fact that the methodology the Torah created, which obviously the Rabbanim picked up on and then taught to us, that how do I know that there's a lower grade responsibility around matzah, the rest of Pesach, because of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, that tells me Shvi'i Shel Pesach has a unique energy. As the Iker HaInim von Rishus is B'Shvi'i Shel Pesach. That tells me that the main principle of not being required to eat matzah is experienced on the seventh day of Pesach. On fun Shvi'i Shel Pesach v'etas nimshach u'nufgiton in the andere sheish yomim from Pesach, and then it kind of spreads out from the seventh day of Pesach to the other days from Chol HaMoed where you don't have to eat matzah. But the point is, conceptually, it's the seventh day of Pesach that we are suddenly introduced to the possibility of matzah not being a requirement. Why is that? It's Mevorin Chassidus. Chassidus explains, as dos was b'shvi'i shel Pesach achilas matzah reshus is dos l'mayli yosa. Not like people would think, oh, you're not required to eat matzah anymore at this point in time. It's almost like a downgrade of the severity of Pesach. You don't have to eat matzah anymore. Chassidus says, actually, it's almost the exact opposite. The fact that you are now no longer required to eat matzah, and it's now your reshus, it's your choice whether or not to eat matzah, indicates a spiritual upgrade. Because dos gufo vos dos is reshus bavai, is the fact that you're now given the right to choose whether or not to eat matzah, indicates as the achilas matzah from Shvi'i Shel Pesach delangt noch hecher wie die madrege was wird degreich durch achilas matzah belaila horishin vos is chova. In a certain regard, eating matzah on the seventh day of Pesach reaches a superior spiritual point to what eating matzah required on the first night of Pesach is. A derech v'dinim from Tefillah Sarvis, which is similar to the principle that Ma'ariv, which is also, so to speak, voluntary, it's just an indication that you're touching something which the Torah cannot mandate. What does that mean? Shem Vidas is in the Pule of Amshocha Mil Maila, derech zeh is movement by Avodah Sa'odim. So firstly, what it means is what we're drawing into the space by eating matzah on the seventh day of Pesach is superior to what we do by eating matzah on the first night of Pesach. And then that reflects in how we do things and how we serve the Eibishter. In other words, Achilas matzah shel chivadim mitzvah. When you eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, because it's a requirement or an instruction vice, that indicates, I said mitzat keches atzmoi, halt noch nit by the Avodah for matzah lechamoyni. It implies that the person of their own volition, they're not yet at this level of what matzah represents, complete surrender to Hashem, bitul. They're not there yet. Therefore, they have to be told, this is what you got to do. That the person will be sensitized to the fact that they've got to be really cautious about how they behave on the first night of Pesach and don't eat things that you're not supposed to eat matzah. You need the matzah. It's a prescription. You need the matzah. But when you get to the seventh day of Pesach, where we say now it's up to you to choose whether or not you eat matzah, so we've basically left it up to the person's individual decision. That is an endorsement from Hashem. We rely on you. We trust you. You are empowered. It means we don't have to hold your hand, give you a prescription. You need to work on bittul. We'll guide you how to do it. Follow these steps. Eat this much matzah. The matzah has become part of this person's reality. They no longer have to be dictated to about matzah because they themselves resonate with the principles of matzah and the principle of bittul. And the reason that it is an experience at that time is because of the fact that it's the seventh day of Pesach, meaning similar to what we said about Achron Shel Pesach. What's so special about it? Because you've now gotten to the point where you've counted the seventh element of the first sphira, which means you have now completely worked through and refined the first and key one of the seven midas. And that's how we explain why it is that now not only can you, but you should engage with gebrochts. Al derech ze bishvi shel Pesach, something quite similar happens on the seventh day of Pesach. Zayin dik de zivet tog from the zman ben nigla alei melech malchi amlochem akadosh baruch hu bichvoy de v'yatzmai u'geolam. This is now the seventh day from the moment where the Eibishter revealed himself to the Jewish people and personally took them out of Mitzrayim. Vos defar is lo hispik batzeka shel aviseinu lachmitz. One of the consequences of the Eibishter's revelation at that time is that there was no space for chometz. The chometz could not manifest. The bread could not rise. So what is the seventh day of Pesach? Atzeres. That's the collation. It's the bringing together of all of the aspects that began on Pesach. So the beginning of Pesach was this revelation of godliness, and therefore there's no room for chometz. And now that's been consolidated on the last day from the Elohispik v'goymer, this capacity to prevent chometz from manifesting. That's niklet be pnimius by yedin eden in a way that's personal. That's atzeres. Atzeres is it's gathered. It's mine. It's consolidated. And as far as zamat achilas matzah nor rishus. So now if the principle of no room for chometz has been consolidated into my reality, then nobody has to tell me you need to eat matzah. I'll get there. I'm there. It's part of my reality. So we've now linked the last and the seventh days of Pesach, and we've shown that there is a similar theme to both of them. The person has changed. The person is so to speak, more spiritually grounded. But there is still a significant difference between the seventh and the eighth day of Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach is the seventh day from leaving Mitzrayim. How did we leave Mitzrayim? The Eibishter did it for us. The Eibishter revealed himself. Which means that the entire experience of the first day of Pesach is the Eibishter's choice, not our impact. You can see this reflected in what happened on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. As for Kriyas Yam Suf is given the Gemara for Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we well know, the miracle of the seventh day of Pesach, which is Kriyas Yam Suf, that completed the process that began with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Bavorim Biz Demold is not given Emas Mitzrayim Aleihem, for the obvious reason that as long as the Egyptians existed as a world superpower, the Jews were afraid that they're going to hunt them down. Once they went through the sea and the Egyptian army was destroyed, they no longer had that fear. They were truly free. So now when it comes to the seventh day of Pesach, is the Gilei Malmaila Givoren Beifen Shal Atzeres Uklita. So we have mentioned what is the seventh day of Pesach. Atzeres, it's the consolidation, it's the integration of what the Eibishter began, but it's what the Eibishter gave us that's now being consolidated and integrated. And because it became part of our reality, that's why we sing praise or sang praise to the Eibishter at Yam Suf. And as mentioned, that's why eating matzah on that seventh day is not something that has to be instructed. It's part of us. We get it, we relate it, we choose it. But Achron Shel Pesach is not the seventh day, i.e. the conclusion of a process initiated by God, rather than a process initiated by us. Sfiras Omer, the avoid mitzad the matter, our work to improve ourselves, the biru from the mention on seine Zimmer Midas. It's the person working to grow, to develop, to shift their characteristics. And we'd also give and keep sure to be Pai Morishena. You see this reflected in the original story. As Yetzias Mitzrayim, Habnir Mitzad Asman on Gehem Tzeilen, the Teg Futsu Kabbalah Satera. After the Yidden leave Mitzrayim, the next day, what do they start to? They start counting up to the time of giving the Torah. When they will be able to fulfill the promise that Hashem made to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush to say, the time will come where you will subjugate yourselves, you'll commit yourselves to me on this mountain. In other words, this is their initiative to prepare themselves to dedicate themselves to Hashem. So now when you reach the seventh concluding day of that process of self-refinement and development, so now we're one step up from Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Shvi'i Shel Pesach, we say, matzah has now become your reality. It's your choice whether you're going to eat matzah or not. We're not telling you what to do. Now we're a step beyond that. Now not only are we left up to our own choices whether or not to eat matzah, but we're permitted now to allow that matzah this remote possibility of chometz, i.e. gebrochts. Where there is that slight whiff of the possibility of chametz. Because as we have mentioned, that level of personal development and progress allows us to incorporate into the way that we serve Hashem things that previously were risky for us. The risk of arrogance, the risk of being misguided, and that risk is no longer there because we have worked on ourselves. That explains one aspect of the last day of Pesach. Als azman, wenn wir es maschnen, die Sphira, Biru von die Erste, sieben Midas, Sphira, der Chesed von Sphira, so immer. What aspect of Achron Shel Pesach? This is the day that we have completed and consolidated the work on the first of the seven Spheres Chesed in all of its facets, as we've been discussing. So we're moving, as the Minig from Mahadin Lishis, Hot HaShaychus, the Minig from Achron Shel Pesach. But we already mentioned, Minig Yisol Teirohi, that the custom will inform what the day is all about. So if we go about dipping our matzah into every dish, that's got to tell us something about the whole of Achron Shel Pesach, not just the facet that it's this segment of counting the Yomer. Atog, Vos Kishmoy Keinhu, what day is it? Well, the name of the day illustrates Mesayim or Mashlim Dim Yomtim Vuzman Chirusen Chag HaPesach. It is the day that concludes everything that Pesach is all about. And actually concludes what Shvi'i Shel Pesach is all about as well. So what does that mean? We'll understand it based on a comment or an insight that the Tzemach Tzedek shared about the focus of the first versus the focus of the last days of Pesach. Brings us in Zayin HaSichis, something the Friedrich Rebbe quotes. The letzte Tog Pesach ruft me mit den Nomen Achron Shel Pesach. The Tzemach Tzedek says the last day of Pesach we call Acharon Shel Pesach, last of Pesach. The lesser talk from Pesach. That is the same from them, was the Satzachonga, even the erste Nacht from Pesach. The fact that we call it the last day of Pesach implies that it concludes what began on the first day of Pesach. So what began on the first day of Pesach? Die erste nach Pesach ist, ist unser Yontov, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu uns ausgelöst von Mitzrayim, says the Tzemach Tzedek. The first night of Pesach, we're celebrating history. The Eibishter previously took us out of Golos, out of Egypt. Die Geula ist schöne durch Moshe Rabbeinu, was gewend der Geul Rishon, the first Geula through the first Redeemer, Moshe. Das gewend der Onib, that's the beginning. Acharon Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach, which concludes that whole process, is this unser Yom Tov of the Geula Achreino, says the Tzemach Tzedek, that is our celebration of what's coming, the Geula that will be, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu vet uns oislesen von dem Golos Achron durch Mashiach Tzikeinu, that the Eibishter will take us out of the final Golos with Mashiach, was there Mashiach Tzikeinu is the Geula Achron, and Mashiach is the final or the ultimate Redeemer like Moshe was the first. So the first day of Pesach is Moshe Rabbeinu's Simchatog. Therefore, the first day of Pesach is Moshe's celebration. And after Pesach is Moshiach's Simchatog. And the last day of Pesach is Moshiach's celebration. Now, that's going to help us understand this principle of Gebrocht, specifically on the last day of Pesach. Was den inyan as achren shal Pesach is verbunden mit Geula ha'asida, that principle that the last day of Pesach is linked to Mashiach, we can see it in a tradition, of course, that we have as Jewish people for the longest time. V'al inyan of pnimius ha'torah, like anything else in Chassidus, it's going to reflect in Nigla, oich b'nigla de Torah, the haftorah from achren shal Pesach is, oid ha'yom gomer v'yotzachot v'goymer, the famous haftorah predicting Mashiach, his character, and some of the events that will happen when Mashiach comes. Was die Haftarah ret bariches wegen der Geula ha'asida yidei Mashiach Tzidkenu. This is a Haftarah that goes into great length describing the Messianic age. Und wegen die Prote ha'yud, was werden dann mekuyim werden, as well as various promises of what will come to pass in the time of Mashiach. And we're going to focus on one or two of them, which are really relevant to our theme. This is Mavur b'chamed midrashach ha'zal n'rechi b'rachni n'ambam. So various midrashim, the Rambam also quotes us, tell us vegan dan hogabi meisa Mashiach, that when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen is vos vet zayin in a meif from Gavagoras, even in Kevus Gomer, as quoted in the Haftarah, that's when the wolf will lie with the lamb, biz ki molo ha'oretz deres havaya, to the extent that the entire world will be completely overwhelmed with knowledge of Hashem. On vegan dem kibbutz golius vos is matur in dipsuke Haftarah, and with the fact that Jews will be brought together from all over the world, as described in Haftarah, v'hoye b'yamahu gomer, liknes ashar amayim, iya yom, that Eibishter is going to reacquire his Jewish nation, even from the far-flung islands. Okiyodua. We know how that translates into our tradition. After Baal Shem Tov let sich neug sein zu essen drei Sudas in Achash HaPesach und die dritte Suda was gewähne fneis Erev, Adam Giruf and Sudas Mashiach. That the Baal Shem Tov made a point specifically to eat three, as opposed to Yontov, where typically you eat two formal meals, but he made sure to eat a third meal towards the end of the day of Achash HaPesach. Adam Giruf Mashiach Suda and called that Mashiach Suda. And thus, metam analva b'achon shapesach is meir gilay ha'ores Mashiach. The reason that the Baal Shem Tov did this is because on the last day of Pesach, there is Mashiach energy that is palpable. So what's the difference, or one of the differences, between the original Exodus and the future redemption? Achilak klolit zwischen die zwei feine geula, so one of the most obvious distinctions is the geula rishayne from Mitzrayim and the geula achena wasid elavas. So the difference between them is this: by Yetzias Mitzrayim state when they left Egypt, it says giborach ha'am, they had to run. Val horash and nefoshes yisol adayin oyu b'tokvay, as Alter Rebbe explains to us, because while they were escaping Mitzrayim internally, they still had a lot of negativity and it was very powerful, and therefore hot mentiri begimus dot leifim from ratumas Mitzrayim. They had to run as quickly and as far as they possibly could from any negative influence because they were very spiritually vulnerable. And the matzav haben sich die Juden gefunden bis Kriyas Yam Suf b'Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And the truth is that they remained vulnerable until the miracle of the splitting of the sea. This is verstandig euch von Pashas Suyonim as bis demult is nachi van Eves Mitzrayim aleim kanal. And you can see that reflected in the simple version of the story. Until the Egyptians were wiped out at the sea, the Jews were afraid they were coming after them, and it was no different in terms of their fear of spiritual vulnerability. So because the nature of the whole of Yetzias Mitzrayim is this rush to get away from a real threat, that's why we don't eat chametz and we eat matzah, which is the poor man's bread. Trying to remind us of that threat and our need to get away from it as quickly as possible. And that translates into our Pesach. Pesach, we have to be absolutely on guard that there's not even a trace of chametz anywhere. And chipaz and borach, we've got to be kind of running from the negative. Which means we have to apply the kind of avoida in our lives that the matzah represents, which is the avoid of overcoming our negativity and being completely subservient to Hashem. Now, Mashiach's geula, completely different. The geula achrein liyos lavish state, The promise about when Mashiach comes is there won't be any of that pressure and that rush. Why not? Because the Eibishter promises at that time that the threat will be removed. He's going to extinguish negativity and impurity from the world. If there is no force of impurity and negativity, who's there to run from? Now with that in mind, the fact that the last day of Pesach is the Yom Tov associated with Mashiach, we don't have to be as on guard, in this case, about Gebrochts, which is only a concern of a remote possibility of Chometz. We're now above that. We're no longer under that kind of pressure that we were at the beginning of our spiritual journey. Nochmer, not only do we not have to be on guard, it's deeper than that. In the Gula Achreina, is Nesivos is Vetzachusfer in the Inyan Fun Vesruch Atum Avim in the Earth. Not only when Mashiach comes will the Eibishter neutralize negativity in the world, as Vet Men it Zayin the Mitzias Fun Ra, which means we'll no longer have the threat of toxic behaviors or thoughts or etc. or temptations, distractions. No, that's Vetzach Ufton Demas Inyan Fun Esapcha. But much deeper than that, when Mashiach comes, we have true conversion of the negative to positive, the darkness to light, the chometz to no longer to being something which is an asset. And you see that in the after. When Mazokt in the after of Nachan Shal Pesach, we say it in the after of Hashir Shayona Goimar Mura Sifoni Gomol Yodoy Hoda. We speak about children playing at snake nests without any fear at all. The viper that is so poisonous and dangerous, the child has nothing to fear. As Eichte Nachash Sifoni Yetzahara. That snake, that venomous snake which represents the Yetzahara, that Nisapech Feren Latoiv, will be converted into something which is innocuous and positive. We're getting a taste of that already on Achron Shal Pesach. The possible Chometz threat of Gebrocht, no longer a bad thing, actually it's a good thing as part of how we celebrate Pesach. That's why not only do we excuse Gebrochts, but we dafka have Gebrochts and as much as possible. Because it's not only that we are now immune to the threat of, ooh, what happens if my matzah gets damaged, but it's actually being converted into something positive. It's now how you celebrate the Yom Tov. So we are now able to use it as a means to serve the Eibishter and in a joyous way, and starting, of course, with the actual Simcha of Yontov. And that is also something we can identify in the revealed part of Torah, specifically in Halacha. Because the din is, the Halacha says, this is a fascinating Halacha. If a person's meal on the last day of Pesach continues at Achatzei Sokichovim until nightfall, Mutar Lechel Chometz B'Su'uda, the person is permitted to eat Chometz at that meal. Not only that, Afshad Nain Lo Yispal Arvis, even though the person hasn't done a Ma'ariv, so it's technically still the Yom Tov, which Yom Tov Pesach, V'lohiv Dil Klal, and the person hasn't made Havdolah. Das heißt, in der Su'uda von Achran Shal Pesach est Chometz. That means that it is possible that a person in the meal, which belongs to Pesach, Achran Shal Pesach, you're eating Chometz. When you conclude that meal and you bench, in the benching, you still say, today is Pesach. That's an indication of the power of Achron Shel Pesach and the Mashiach energy within it to take what was previously so negative and concerning that you've got to keep away from it as far as possible and incorporate it into a meal that is still considered Pesach. We know that the Torah was presented in broader and specific terms, but we can apply that same principle over here. As the Ershenach Pesach is the Yom Tov von Gula Yishenu Yitzias Mitzrayim, we've identified that the first night of Pesach is all about the celebration of what was the Exodus. And the Siyum from Pesach Achon Shepesach is Fabun mit the Gula Huasida, whereas the last day of Pesach is linked to what will be the Exodus, the liberation of Moshiach. Is there in dem besteht der Chilk klolli zwischen der erste zwei Yom Tov Tag von Pesach und die letzte zwei Tag Yom Tov. So that's very specific, first day versus last day. More broadly, first 2 days of Pesach versus the second 2 days of Pesach. Das heißt, dass ich schwieße Pesach, was ist der Sinn von Pesach, ist scheich zu Gulo Asida, which means that the seventh day of Pesach is also linked to the energy of Mashiach, the theme of Mashiach, the principle of the Gula, and you see this most obviously in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael is doch dosta siyum mamish, and my pravadim talk to Yisrael for Mashiach with Shvi'i Shal Pesach. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, the Shvi'i Shal Pesach is actually the last day of Pesach, and is where we celebrate the Mashiach Sudah, because that's when we're focused on the time of Mashiach. You can see this reflected in the fact that it's specifically on the seventh day of Pesach when the sea split. That was the moment where they're no longer leaving Mitzrayim, but now there is no Mitzrayim to be afraid of. In the Moifan Asli Nisharboim Adechot, like the Torah tells us, that no one was left. That is a sampling, a foretaste of this complete neutralization of any negativity that's going to happen or any impurity that's going to happen when Mashiach comes, as the Pasuk says, the Eibush is going to remove the spirit of impurity from the world. But it's not only that we got rid of Mitzrayim, the latent spiritual value within Mitzrayim was also completely exhausted and elevated at that point. The final stage of elevating all the last remaining latent holiness in Mitzrayim was completed when? At the sea. That's why you're not going to see Mitzrayim anymore, because they have nothing to contribute to the world anymore. Is given by Kriyas Yamsuf, all of that occurred at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. How do we know that? Because the material treasure that the Jews got at the sea outdid what they got when they left Egypt. That is a metaphor and a foretaste of how it's going to be when Mashiach comes, when all of the latent holiness within the world will be elevated and returned to its source. On the ribbis by Christiansk Vendi Gilly Kusinanoifen von Marian Oisabetzekeli. That's why, because they had elevated Mitzrayim so effectively at this point, that's why at the time of the Kriyasyamsev, they could literally say, Zekeli. You could point with your finger, it was so tangible, it was so real. As we know that even a simple maidservant at that point had divine visions that outdo what the prophets would see. That's a taste of how things will be in the time of Mashiach when it says that David shall be revealed, and even the physical human flesh will be able to see. And David is going to pour his spirit and revelation over all flesh, even those who are at very lowly stages of life. And they'll all experience prophecy. Not only did Kriyas Yamsuf neutralize this terrible spiritual threat called Mitzrayim, but it also turned Ishapcha, which is exactly what we're looking for in the experience of Mashiach, turned negative to positive. Where do you see that? Because the Pasuk says, Vayihi he'onon v'hachoshech, that the Eibusha created a cloud, and that cloud was dark. And what happened is, Vayores alayla, that became the source of light in the night. Asecheshech aleinot meri given, which means the darkness shone, as will happen in the time of Mashiach, when, as the prophecy says, V'layla kayoim yo'ir, night will shine as bright as day. Ashlema azeich derinin, t'shaychus from Shvi'i Shal Pesach, tzu d'gi'ulo ho'asida, said this principle, that not only the final day of Pesach, but the seventh day of Pesach is also linked to Mashiach, is v'abunim mit'b'china v'inim from achilas matzah rishus, takes us back to what we said before, that the seventh day of Pesach is when you're not dictated that you have to eat matzah, but you're given the rights and the choice to eat matzah. V'ram mo'diyam shocha v'gilim from Shvi'i Shal Pesach, nikir rishus v'alma d'cheiru, because the Tzemach Tzedek in Derech Mitzvesecha says that this concept of rishus, of having, so to speak, permission to choose to eat matzah, indicates that we have linked into a world of freedom. A world where nothing is actually dictated, because everything is so organic. And that idea of not being required, but stepping up voluntarily to do what the Eibishter wants, is a messianic kind of experience. Why? Because one of the things we say when Mashiach comes is, it's a time where people are going to say, I don't have the same chefetz, the same motivation to do what I did before, because now is no longer a time that you could, so to speak, gain credits or lose out. There's not going to be instruction, there's not going to be dictation. Do as you resonate to do. And as we know, the Rambam tells us that there will be a time that will be without any conflict, without any famine, and there'll be no envy, and there'll be no competition. The complete and constant occupation of the entire world will be simply just to know the Eibishta Shenemar Kimola Oretz Deya Savai Kamayim Leyum Chasim, as the Pasuk says, that the world will be filled with the knowledge of the Eibishta like the seabed is covered by the sea, and that should be Yimitzah Hashem Tekef Umiyad Mamash.